He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section. Sometimes people named Marjorie yell at him in the sports letters. Catch up with his work online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how are you on this Tuesday, sir?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to start with Oregon men's hoops. A lot of preseason hype. One magazine had them first. Both polls had them top five. Pac-12 picked to win. They looked awful at Baylor. I don't think they played very well at Georgetown. Austin, if you've been listening, I know you have. Dana Altman has been offering cautionary tales, it seems like, during the week, before games, after games. Would it be wise for everyone, including the players, to start paying attention to the coach and realize this team is far from where they want to be?
Yeah, the first few games definitely have validated what Dana Altman was saying all through the preseason, which is that Oregon is not very good and certainly not the team that they were last year. It's interesting because the things Dana Altman was talking about, primarily, you know, defense and rebounding, the things he talks about every year at this time, and it seems like he's always saying, you know, we can shoot the ball. Guys, offense is not our problem. Guys need to defend and rebound. That's our problem. Well, looking at their first few games, offense kind of has been their problem. You know, they have some talented players, but they just haven't been able to score. That has been the most surprising thing to me so far is the Baylor game. And today against Tennessee and yesterday against Georgetown, their offense is not very good.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Is that a carryover from football? No, I'm only kidding. even though if you look at what the basketball team lost, it wasn't a lot, but Elgin Cook was just as important a guy as anybody in the country. When the season ended last year, you know, Benjamin was a huge spark off the bench. You knew it would take time for the newbies to kind of find their way. But any reason when you consider what he's accomplished here already is that Dana Altman will get them through this, these guys will develop, and that this team still has the talent to achieve big, big things?
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not going to panic even still, you know, as bad as they looked at times yesterday against Georgetown. I still think when Dylan Brooks is healthy and playing his full complement of minutes, Oregon's going to be fine. I mean, you saw him, you know, still on a limited leash today. Still, Dylan Brooks showed what a difference he can make for that team. It's just, you know, it is different. You mentioned the two guys they lost in Dwayne Benjamin and Elgin Cook. And I think those two guys did some sort of underrated things for Oregon offensively. You know, the thing Elgin Cook could do is he could just go get his shot. You know, when their offense Yep. broke down, he could put the ball on the floor and get to the basket. And I don't know that they have somebody who can do that right now the way Elgin Cook did. And then Dwayne Benjamin, you know, he was not a huge scorer, but he could hit a three-pointer. He hit some big shots for them, and the perimeter shots have not been falling for Oregon so far. So I think they'll be fine, but I do think offensively they're going to need to adjust to not having those two guys.
That's a good point, and they're adjusting slowly. Let's move to football. We continue. Austin Meek, Register Guard. General question, as there's no way to know. Weeks ago, Rob Mullen said the coaching staff evaluated after the season. This was a big win. I think you could throw out words like guts. It was on the road, killer venue. You think the effort and result revealed enough, or do you think Mark Helfrich coaches continually for his job Saturday? What's your gut telling you about this entire circumstance?
You know, my gut feeling at this point is that it kind of comes down to the Civil War.
Whoa.
You hate to put that much pressure on one game, and it's not just going to be one game. I mean, whatever Rob Mullins decides to do, there's going to be a lot more that goes into it than just what happens in the Civil War. But at the same time, could that game be the thing that tips the scale one way or the other? I think it could. You know, coming off that game against Utah where Oregon came together and won a game where nobody thought they could, I do think that changes the mood a little bit. But it's not going to matter if Oregon goes out there and loses to Oregon State. If you lose a game to the Beavers and finish 4-8, that's going to be hard to swallow. But I do think the Utah win gives them the chance now. You know, if you finish with two straight wins, you can point to the young players that are playing well, point to the fact that Mark Helfrich kept things together when everybody thought they were just, you know, totally beyond hope. And that could be, you know, a fairly compelling argument in Mark Helfrich's favor. I didn't think I'd be saying that looking at that Utah game. I just gave Oregon almost no chance to win that game. I was really, really surprised by that, and I do think it does change the discussion a little bit for Mark Helfrich.
Yeah, and I think we conversed on Twitter. You not thinking they can beat Utah put you in a really, really long, long line. You know?
Yeah, I mean, not anybody gave them a chance in that game. It's amazing. I mean, it's just, I'm always amazed. Things like that happen all the time in college football. The thing you absolutely least expect is what happens. I guess it's why it's an entertaining game.
And that's why those really nice casinos in places like Vegas are not built on winners. You can take my word for that. As you wrote after the game, for the most part, the Coach Helfrich era has steered pretty clear of off-field issues. Then this season, before it started, Prevost suspended, Eddie Hurd, allegedly the same night, Darren Carrington had an incident. There's whispers about problems with Farrell Brown. Do guys lose focus when they struggle so mightily on the field? You know, what have the coaches or the guys or, you know, even, like you said, the athletic director had to say about all this?
Well, what you just said was sort of my suspicion, is that as the season had gone south, some of the discipline off the field had eroded as well. And you wondered, is Mark Helfrich losing this locker room? I mean, I wondered that, looking at the incidents that were happening off the field, and I felt like that was just the last thing that could happen for Mark Helfrich, is to have a bunch of guys, and not only have the team struggling on the field, but then have a bunch of guys getting in trouble off the field. That's a really bad combination. And, you know, that was one reason why I didn't give Oregon much chance in that game, because there had been so much swirling around the program leading up to that. It's something they're going to have to look at. You know, maybe it's just a run of bad luck where Oregon went several years with Mark Helfrich without having much in terms of off-field problems, and then they just have had a bunch here in a pretty short time. Or it could be what we just talked about, you know, that guys have lost some discipline as the team has struggled. That's something they're going to have to look at. That's got to be part of the evaluation when they talk about this season and what.
Interesting 12, 14 days, I'll tell you that much. The first half of the game we just saw was weird. I want to look at the second half, because the Ducks had 264 yards and equaled 3 points. That it seemed, once it clicked for Herbert in the third quarter, there's almost no stopping him. With that defense against the team who had everything to play for, I mean, this kid making just his sixth start, I mean, how do you look at that kind of a performance under those circumstances?
Well, it was incredible. I mean, the throw that Justin Herbert made to Darren Carrington to win that game, that was a gutsy, gutsy throw. And it was, interestingly enough, it was basically the same call that Oregon made against Colorado.
Yep.
Dakota Prukop threw the interception in the end zone trying to hit Darren Carrington. So kind of an interesting piece of symmetry there. They went back to that fade in the end zone, and Justin Herbert put that ball in absolutely the only place he could put it. I mean, he was throwing it to a window about 3 inches wide. Put it right on the money. I mean, that was an amazing gutsy throw for a true freshman quarterback playing on the road. Man, his future is really, really bright for that guy. And that's, you know, we'll see how he responds this week, but that's another thing you look at with Mark Helfrich and say, well, you know, if we give this a little more time, they have the quarterback. That's an encouraging thing.
And it's an important thing. We continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. An area of frustration this year, inconsistent running game, which was supposed to be a strength, a lot tied to the status of Royce Freeman. I think that he didn't look 100% against Stanford, and they played 7 days later. Is it me, or did it look like he took some magic elixir, healed up, and look? You know, when he's the Royce of 2014 and 15, that changes an awful lot with this offense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking watching that game, but this looks more like the Oregon team we thought we were getting this year. And Royce Freeman is a big part of that. I was talking to Gary Campbell at practice this week, and he mentioned that Royce was dealing with that sternum injury. Basically a chest injury where every time you get hit, you know, that's where you feel it. You take a shot, you know, head on, and you've got that bruised sternum, you know, that's where it hurts when you get hit. So, you know, when it looked like maybe Royce was avoiding contact or not, you know, running straight ahead like we were used to seeing from him, I think that was a big part of it. But he looked, you know, he looked more like old Royce in that game. You know, still had the same burst and, you know, that ability to take on contact and hit the hole hard that had been missing. We saw some of that again in the Utah game. So, you know, it's been a tough season for Royce Freeman. I kind of feel for the guy because it has not been the season, obviously, that he had in mind. But it's good to see him getting healthy again and being effective because we know he can do it. I mean, he's a very gifted running back, and it looks like he's kind of getting back to where he was at before the injury.
Yeah, no, he's like their NFL player, and all of a sudden, you know, he was – a totally different guy. I want to end with the end. So they review the game-winning catch. They decide to forego the extra point up two, take a knee, then kick off. And all anybody is thinking is, you know, Stanford's playing Cal and the band's on the field. what did you make of that? The not going for the extra point, not squibbing it. I'm kind of curious as to what you guys up on press row and you yourself were talking about, how that played out.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that.
Me either.
I've ever seen anybody kneel down on an extra point. And, you know, it's kind of a smart strategy, I think, because we've seen, was it the Broncos and the Saints a couple weeks ago in the NFL, where a team gets an extra point blocked and they're going to take the lead, and instead it gets returned for 2 points. So in that situation, you know, the only way Oregon could give up the lead is if you get an extra point blocked. And then Utah returns it and potentially ties the game. So I don't know. I guess the only thing that would scare me about it has been, you know, you still got to kick off. And Mark Telford's point is, well, there's only 2 seconds, so there's not going to be enough time for Utah to run a play after we kick off, unless, say, Utah has a kickoff return and then there's a penalty on Oregon, and then Utah gets one more play. Could they kick a field goal and beat you if they had a long return? I don't know. It's an interesting discussion, but I don't think I'd ever seen that before. That's kind of a strange strategy.
I was racking my brain, and I have not spoken to a person who ever recalls seeing that. But you know what? Oregon football 2016, you have no idea what's coming next.
Yeah, all right. Has any team done more weird stuff on extra points than Oregon this year? I think they're the weirdest extra point team in the history of football.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think from a fan's point of view, everything doesn't have to be scintillating and exciting. Just kick the extra point, it's okay, and move along.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Keep it simple.
All right. Always great stuff, Austin. I'll wish you safe travels along the I-5 corridor to Corvallis and back. And obviously to you and your family, a healthy, happy, and a fun Thanksgiving.
Okay. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, Steve.
All right. Take it easy, Austin.